Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you prescribing hope for healthy families. Now, if you are watching online, you will see that I have a very special treat for you. I'm so excited about today's show. Listen, you may have heard recently a show that I had with a guy named Kevin Chandler and his book we talked about, We Carry Kevin. Look, if you're watching online, I'm showing it here. This is the children's book version of the adult story that you wrote a book like for grown-ups, right? But this is a version of this for kids called We Carry Kevin. And it is a remarkable story. And God has just aligned circumstances that we both ended up being in the same city. And we get to meet in person and have this right here on video. So yay, God. Yay. I'm so excited about that. Let me tell you a little bit about Kevin, just in case you are new or you missed the other show. Kevin Chandler grew up in the foothills of North Carolina, and he was the second of his siblings to be diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy type 2. It's a rare neuromuscular disease, but that did not stop you. In 2016, you and your friends took a trip across Europe, leaving your wheelchair at home, and your friends literally carried you on their back. Actually, Kevin, my producer, Stephanie, has not been able to stop talking about this since your show because you described it like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
yeah.
which she just loved. Thought that was such a great story. And you were here to share your story and to share how you translated this into a book and how you're helping other kids have backpack access. So, Kevin, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm just thrilled to have you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, let's just start with a little bit of your story. I want to recap a little for our listeners who maybe missed the first one.
Sure.
One of the things you told me that has stuck with me is you talked about thanking your parents for your life. And that was just so, I can't even imagine. I hope they heard that. I really hope they heard that. Because I think so often, you know, we look at a culture that doesn't value life in a lot of ways, you know, and we look at different struggles that we have, and somebody might look at you with the struggles that they can see that you face and think, how do you get that kind of hope? Mm-hmm. So let's start there and tell us about that.
Yeah, so you mentioned earlier I was the second one diagnosed in my family with SMA, and we have an older brother as well, Andrew, and when my sister Connie came along, and she should have been, you know, acting like a toddler, toddling, right? She was falling down, she was holding on to things and not letting go, and so... the process began of finding out why that was. And through a long process, they decided that she had spinal muscular atrophy. This was the mid-80s, and there was not very much known about SMA. There was maybe a couple paragraphs, you know. It was very, very rare in many ways. And so the doctors sat my parents down and said, if you have more kids, this is probably going to continue to be the case. They're probably going to have this. And so we suggest that you not have any more children. And as it's been told to me, my dad took my mom's hand and said, if the worst you're saying is that we have another child like Connie, that's okay with us. And about a year and a half later, I showed up, and I'm really thankful for that stand that they took, and the faith in the Lord that they had to take that stand. And I think it's because of their walks with the Lord that they do value life the way that they do, and so it's because of that I'm here.
And we're so glad that you're here. I mean, really. And your sweet wife has joined us in the studio today. You had so many good things to say about her last time. So we're definitely going to explore that. But she shared with me that she's even thanked your dad for giving you life, because it's given her a whole new life, which is amazing. So let's jump into that, because I love a good love story, Kevin. And you guys have one of the best that I've ever heard. So tell us your story.
Oh man, that's a big story.
I know. Take as long as you want. Hey, we had you back, so we've got time.
right. Well, so I, you know, a little bit of a recap is the trip to Europe that we took, and we left my wheelchair behind, and these guys carried me in a backpack for 3 weeks as we explored France and England and Ireland. And coming away from that trip, we said, well, we survived that. What else can we do? What else do we want to do? And so we decided to try for China. And something that we took away from the first trip was that we didn't have to always explain what we were doing. One of my favorite memories of people's reactions from Europe was when I would notice people watching us across the street or on the other end of a train car, and you could just see that they don't quite know what's going on, but then the light bulb comes on of there's something wrong with this guy, and these are his friends, and they're having a really good time, and there is a love here that is unique. And then they would just kind of smile at that revelation and move on with their day. And so what we started asking, actually at the end of that trip, we hadn't even gotten home yet, but we started asking, well, where could we go and lean more into that, where the language is so different, the culture is so different, everything is so different, that we just have to be seen and trust that that's enough. And so we settled on China. And I can get into how we ended up going, but that is where I met Katie, and she was working there in a care center for orphans with disabilities. And so part of our trip was to go and spend a week at that care center, and we lodged there. Is that the right word?
Sure.
We stayed there, and so just got a lot of time with her and the rest of the staff and the kids, and it was a really, really sweet experience, and she was part of that. And so coming home, we stayed in touch, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but
no, it's okay. Go ahead. I'll follow up with some questions.
Okay. Just tell me when to stop whenever you want.
No. Don't stop. Best part's coming.
Right. But yeah, so we stayed in touch, and she, to back up a little bit, she is from Illinois, but she knows the language. She knows Mandarin and had been living there for a while. And so her boss had kind of put her in charge of keeping us out of trouble and, you know, taking us around to see things. And so we really did get a lot of quality time and became friends. And so when we got home, we just kept texting and FaceTimed here and there. And September to June, however many months that is, 8 months, something like that. Anyways, I'm great at math. but a mutual friend of ours, I had lunch with, and she said, she didn't tell me this, but she had noticed how Katie was talking a lot about me, and I was talking a lot about her, and she had already called it like a year and a half before, but didn't tell us. But she said, I think you should ask Katie out. And it was like, by that point, it was like a dam just broke in me of this is what I want. You know, I'm just enjoying talking to her so much. I'm enjoying hearing her thoughts and getting to know her. And I had some different things happening in my life where I would text her, task her to pray, that she would. You know, a lot of times you're like, I'm asking someone to pray. I don't know if they're actually going to, but I knew that she would. And I just loved her heart. And so when our friend said that, my response was an audible, okay, you know, and I just realized I wanted to like be with her. I wanted to be in her presence and spend more time with her. And this was that it just got translated to, oh, right, I want to ask her out. That makes sense. Because neither of us had ever dated and, you know, had girlfriend, boyfriend. And so I didn't really know what that looked like. But
you're making me tear up here.
but the Lord used that friend to speak into both of our lives and not convince us of anything. Just say, this is what I'm seeing. And and maybe you guys should give it a shot. And so I took a month to pray about it, because she's in China, you know, that's big.
That's far.
That's a long
that's
road
a long
trip, right?
Distance relationship. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And so, after a month, we were texting about something else. And, do you remember in, You've Got Mail when he adds like the PS, you know, do you think we should meet? It
yes.
was kind of like that at the end of a text about something else. I said, by the way, next time we're in the same country, could I take you out to dinner?
And I said, Kevin, that is one of the most epic pickup lines I've ever heard. By the way, when we're in the same country the next time, I'd like to take you out to dinner. I would have said yes. Oh, my goodness. That was epic. So, I mean, but it gets even more epic, really. Yeah.
Well, so she wrote back, and it was funny because I sent it, and then I put my iPad away because there's a 12-hour difference. I was like, she probably have stuff going on, and I don't want to check this every 30 seconds. So I put it away and didn't check it. That was Saturday night. I didn't check it till Sunday afternoon. You know, I just was like, I'm going to take a breath here. apparently, she actually texted right back. So
aww.
that could have, I could have slept better.
Yeah,
but or I wouldn't have slept at all. I don't know. But but she wrote back and said, I would very much like to. And I had just been in Ireland to do a couple of speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. And she knew that. And so she kind of half joking said, I'm going to be in Australia in 2 months. If you have anything going on there, I can meet you there. Ha ha. Otherwise, I'll let you know next time I'm back in the States, which would probably be like Christmas. You know, it's not anytime soon. And all I really saw was that she said yes. And so there was no question in my mind. We're going to Australia, you know. I mean, if I get to see this girl in 2 months versus 6 months or a year, we're going. And so I called her and said, I don't have any work-related stuff, but I'll come to take you out to dinner.
And I'll meet you in Australia to take you out to dinner.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Well, worth it.
And it clearly worked out really, really, really well.
Yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, you just shared with me your story even before we came on. And even God worked it out that you had family in Australia.
Yeah.
So you were able just all of the things were so beautiful about that.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting engaged and getting married and happy fourth anniversary
yeah,
now.
Thank you.
So, so, so beautiful and so exciting. And, you know, Kevin, one of the things that we've been talking about with you guys here is that I know there are a lot of single people out there who are thinking, is God going to provide somebody for me? Mm. I would really love to be married. And just seeing your story and waiting on God's timing, what an incredible story. I mean, yeah, it could have been, you know, oh yeah, we were introduced through mutual friends in Illinois, but no, God said, let's have you meet in China and date in Australia. That's pretty absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we come back, we are going to talk about your trip to Europe. I have some more questions about that, about your grand adventure, and about the backpacks that you have and how other families can get a hold of those. Don't go away. We'll be right back. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Oh, sing Welcome back, friends. That song is Christ Our Hope in Life and Death by the Worship Initiative. And He is our hope. He can calm. I think about those lyrics all the time. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good. God is good. So, friend, if your soul is troubled today, if you are troubled by the world news, by global conflict, by relationship conflict, by family brokenness, whatever it is, this truth can calm your troubled soul that God is good. God is good. And God is so good to give me my guest here today, Kevin Chandler. If you're watching online, I'm holding up his book. We are talking about this beautiful, beautiful children's book, We Carry Kevin. It's K-E-V-A-N if you're listening online, but you can find it even if you do, K-E-V-I-N. But it's We Carry Kevin. Now, Kevin has a remarkable story, having spinal muscular atrophy, but not letting that stop you from doing anything, including backpacking across Europe. And you have been all over the world telling your story, TED Talks, all kinds of things. But for me, Kevin, as a mom and as a pediatric nurse practitioner, I love this book. I think everybody should get this book for the kid in your life for Christmas, because it may speak to kids who have the same struggles as you, or it may give a perspective to kids who don't. Mm. And maybe they'd see themselves in the friends that are in this book, or maybe they'd see themselves in you that are in this book. So let's pick it up in talking about your trip to Europe. We talked about that a little bit last time, but I had asked you, Kevin, about what it was like. And you just said about people looking at you. They would look at you and they would say, okay, this guy, he has a problem, but he is happy and he's got some friends. You said something like that. I wanted to write it down, but I didn't have a pen. But what was that like to be able to look around and see that the bond that you were sharing publicly was encouraging people you didn't even know?
Hmm. Yeah, first off, it was wild enough for me to be able to see everybody's faces, because nowadays I have a wheelchair that raises up so that I'm more eye level, but back then I didn't have that kind of wheelchair, and so to be put in a backpack and up onto my friend's shoulders, I was actually a head above everyone. I have really tall friends, and so as a result, I did get to see everyone's reactions to us, and I felt like I was not just on this adventure for my own fun, but I also, in a way, was getting to, I was kind of called to be a witness to how the world would respond. And it was so fun. It was really encouraging. And for the most part, I would say probably 99% of people that saw us had this great joyful kind of realization of what was going on. And and that would take different forms. And sometimes people would high five us or shake our hands, or they would just stare at us, and then you would see it kind of click for them, and they would just kind of smile and nod and move on. And one of my favorites was there was a guy that people would take pictures with us at random, and there was a guy that took a selfie with us one day in Paris, and then 3 or 4 days later we were standing on a street corner in Paris still, and the guy next to us kind of looked up at us and then pulled out his phone and tapped my friend on the shoulder and showed him that he was the guy.
You know, so
he was like, "Hey, we met the other day." He didn't speak English, but that was his way of saying. And so it was just kind of this, we were so recognizable and we were obviously having a lot of fun. And so people just kind of joined in that experience, and we got to join dance parties in Paris in the streets, and we were there during summer solstice, and people were just like, "Oh yeah, come on into the circle," and things like that. And then on one of our hikes in Ireland, we kind of backed up traffic because it was a narrow space and people were piling up behind us, but it wasn't frustration or annoyance. They were all like joining in with conversation, and what started as four of us, you know, trying to make it our way down this path turned into like 20 of us, and we were all doing it together. And so people just love to join in with what we're doing.
Well, tell me about places that you got to go that you think maybe you wouldn't have gotten to see if you were just confined to your chair. Where did that backpack give you mobility? What experience did you have, or things did you see that you think you wouldn't have seen otherwise?
Well, I'll start, maybe the easier one is I'll start with what I think I maybe could have done, which was we spent a day in London, and I learned very quickly that if the weather is good in London, a wheelchair can get around because you can take the sidewalks or, you know, different stuff like that. But pretty much the rest of the trip, I would not have experienced otherwise.
Really?
I mean,
that much?
Even our apartment that we got in Paris was up 6 flights of stairs, you know, and then you get up there and it's a 2-story apartment, and it's like, well, all right, so a wheelchair wouldn't have worked here. And then in England, we had a really awesome couple that let us stay with them, but that was up 2 flights of stairs. And then they took us out for a hike through the countryside. And so getting to weave through, you know, old forests that you're like, oh, this is why we all think of like King Arthur and magic and fairies, because of scenes like this that we're just walking through in our friend's backyard, basically, you know. And and then in Ireland, we went to Skellig Michael, which was a very old, well, it's an island, the island is obviously old, but there's a very old monastery at the top of it, and it was from the 6th century when Christians were being chased out of Ireland. And they found this rock in the ocean and said, well, we can see the mainland from here on a clear day, and we still love it and want to pray for it. And so they set up shop there. And so we got to go there and climb to the top. It was kind of a sort of pilgrimage, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And certainly no accessibility there. I mean, you have to get from the boat to the island, you have to jump from the boat to like a rock stairway, and you know, good luck. And so everything.
So you did that on the backpack?
Yeah. I was on my friend Tom's back, and he didn't sleep the night before. He was so worried about it, but
really?
We made it. And it was, I mean, the boat was rocking so much that it was like, well, you either go on step one or step three, going up the staircase, and the boatman counts it off and tells you when to jump, you know.
It
was crazy. But so all of that to say, everything from where we slept to the craziest hikes, all of it was not wheelchair accessible. But it's also, that's not, to be clear, that's not a complaint. It's, you know, nobody wants an elevator in an ancient monastery. Like, there's beauty in nature and beauty in ancient things, mm-hmm. That you don't want to disturb. And so what we said was, well, we don't want to manipulate that. So what do we have to do to make our situation accessible? And so we figured it out this way with a backpack.
I just think it's so amazing. And ever since I interviewed you the first time, Kevin, I think about the scripture that says, carry one another's burdens, and in so doing, fulfill the law of Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that most people would look and say spinal muscular atrophy looks like a burden, you know, that is a burden that you carry. But just to know that your friends were literally carrying that burden for you. I mean, here, I'm going to get all teared up again. I think it's such a beautiful story. I want to go back to talking about your friends and how this all came about, because I think there are a lot of people who are friends with other people who have different kinds of disabilities, and there's such an awkwardness there. You know, there's such a, I don't want to overstep, I don't want to understep, you know. How did you get to the point in your friendships where you developed this kind of trust? That's a lot of what you talk about in the book for kids. Just, you have to have a lot of trust to say, yes, put me on your back, where you really are going to go wherever they have to go. How did that friendship develop?
Well, I like to say that I only need about 3 seconds of courage, just enough to say, okay. And then they take over because I'm on their back, you know?
Yeah.
So whatever the ridiculous thing that we want to do, I'm just along for the ride. And you know,
literally,
they are the ones with the courage, and they hear me on their back going, oh, wait, oh, okay, oh, you know.
You're a backseat driver?
Right. Well, I'm trying not to be. I try and limit it to O's, you know. But, you know, I would say first off that it goes back to my parents and our home that we grew up in, and how my parents invited people into our home, and that really normalized our situation for the outside world. But then we also went out into the world. I went to regular school, was in regular classes, went to youth summer camps with our church, was part of youth group and everything. And so I think between that, let's say the open door policy going both ways, I really learned how to acclimate to the world around me and invite people into my needs and to find life in that and to use that as a tool. And so these friendships, you know, of the guys that went on the trip, that came out of time spent together because of my needs and saying, hey, you know, we're going to this potluck all together at a friend's house, and we get there and there's a flight of stairs, and okay, let's leave the wheelchair in the van, and you know, Tom, how about you carry me in this time, or Philip, can you grab the door, or you know, Luke, can you get food for me, because I'm sitting on the couch, you know, and so inviting people into that and giving them ownership in our relationship by showing how much I'm depending on them and therefore how much I'm trusting them with my own life and my, I mean, literally, I'm trusting them with my body. Like, don't drop me. Don't, you know, different things. And these guys in particular just really, they stepped up to it, and they did take ownership in that, and they took joy in that, and so that's how our friendships grew, And the friendships were good before the trip, but I think that shared experience together just strengthened them all the more.
You just said something really profound, and the way that you said it is really thought-provoking for me. You said, I invited people into my needs and gave them ownership in the relationship. Mm-hmm. That is really profound, Kevin, because I think of a lot of different situations where people have all kinds of different needs, whether they're physical or whether they're emotional or spiritual. So often in this culture, we're just acculturated to hide our needs. Like, mm-hmm. we don't want anybody to know that you know, we have this need. So what does that look like to invite them into your needs?
How much time do we have now?
We got as much time as you want to take. I'm fascinated.
I'm currently working on a book about this. So
are you really?
That's a big topic. But you know, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, hospitality. Mm-hmm. The idea behind hospitality is that you are paying attention to the other person and what they need. And so often I think we look at our own needs, our own limitations or weaknesses, our own burdens, as hindrances to that hospitality. And what I've realized in my own life from a lot of years of depending on people is that they don't have to be hindrances. They can actually be tools to care for those people. And so to answer your question, I would say it has a lot to do with your posture and how you approach people. Are you coming in saying, you know, woe is me? Or are you coming in and saying, I want to care for you, so here's my need, and through my need, I can care for you with quality time and care.
I think so often we rob other people of the blessing of stepping in and filling that need, mm-hmm. because there's so much, it's better to give than to receive. And so we shut people out in a way because we think, I don't want them to see my weaknesses or my fears, my failures. But just to see that openness, that trust that you had, and the fact that that led you on an adventure to Europe with the friendships that God built through that. Okay, I'm having a moment here. I love your story so much. When we come back, more with Kevin Chandler. We Carry Kevin. Get your book. We'll be right back after this break.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
The Lord is my shepherd. He is everything I need, so I will not worry. I will not fear the enemy. He said that He loves me. He said that He's with me even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know.
Good plans for me.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Good Plans by Red Rocks Worship. And God has good plans for you. He does. He has good plans for my guest here today, Kevin Chandler. We are talking about the good plan that God laid out for his life even before you were born, Kevin. God knew. And it is just amazing to me to see your journey, to see the way that you have shared your faith, to see the way that you've shared hope with so many other people. We're talking to Kevin about his journey of having spinal muscular atrophy, but going backpacking across Europe. And he was in the backpack. And your strong friends, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you said their names, but I was thinking in my head, Michelangelo, you know, Leonardo.
That's like, pretty much, yeah.
That's kind of the image that I was having, that they literally put you on their back and carried you across Europe. And friends, he has written a children's book about this. If you're watching online, you can see I'm holding up the book. It's called We Carry Kevin. Such a beautiful story. And we were just talking before the break. I feel like we got a little interrupted. So, just rude commercial breaks, right? So let's talk about, you said that you invite people into your needs and you gave them responsibility in the relationship. Can you tell me what that means and what that looks like?
Yeah. Going back to that aspect of trust and in trusting yourself to others, and I think when you realize that this aspect of being trustworthy, like when you express to people that they are trustworthy, that can bring a lot of life to people. And not everyone is going to respond well to that, but you have to weather those, but those who do step up and step into that and really embrace it, it's life-giving for them, and it's life-giving for you as well. And so I'm 38, and I have not spent a day of my life independently. I've always depended on people, beginning with my parents and my brother and sister, and moving on up through life with friends and caregivers, and some hired and some just being friends, and now being married and getting to enjoy that life with Katie. And it's what I found is I realize the potential joy that I'll experience and others will experience if they step into it with me, and they step into my needs, and so I have to carry that joy into the invitation, I think is a big part of it. And then, as we were talking earlier before the show, that if my needs are taken care of, I don't have to worry about myself, so I can turn my attention and my focus on the person who's helping, and I can listen and process with them and talk with them through whatever they're going through, and paying attention to that, I can tuck things away for future reference of how to care for them. And sometimes, the guys that get me up in the morning, even now, a lot of them have very busy lives with their families and their work and their church, and several of them have said, yeah, this 1 hour once a week with you is kind of my quiet moment, and so it's a gift to them. And how many guys especially get quality time with their other guy friends once a week, and undivided attention and being able to be together. It's just such a sweet thing. I'm really thankful for that, and I think they are too.
It is such a sweet thing. I'm telling you, I'm having a moment here. It's just got me all teary. But I'm thinking, Kevin, of, I'm thinking of you having physical limitations and being on your friend's back. But I'm thinking of so many listeners that may have emotional limitations, may have spiritual limitations, may have things that are crippling them emotionally and spiritually, and for their mental health. And how many of those people out there need to have the courage to climb on their friend's back like you did. And maybe that's not physically and literally like you did, but maybe that's metaphorically, that's emotionally, that we just need to be carried by someone else. Yeah. And I hope that listening to your story would give them the courage to do that, because we are not meant to be alone. We are, and you've even said that in your marriage story, it is not good for man to be alone. We are made to walk in companionship and fellowship and friendship with other people, and that can be hard to do. And you share so much of that. I want to open up this book here and share a little bit with our listeners, because it's so beautiful. Here, I'm going to show you one of the pictures. If you're watching online, you can just like these beautiful illustrations. And it starts off saying, Kevin was a whiz on wheels, but sometimes he wished he had wings. If he had wings, he could go up, up, up on the shoulders of the wind. He could be free as a bird, free to see the whole world. As Kevin got bigger, so did his dreams. But how could he explore old cities, magical woods, like we talked about, and fields and far off mountains? There were too many places his wheels couldn't go. And one day, Kevin's friends said, "We're going on an adventure. And you're coming with us in this backpack." But Kevin said, "What if?" And then the rest of this book is so many what if questions. What if I get hurt? What if I go? What if we go somewhere I don't want to go? What if we get blown off a cliff? And there's this really cute little picture. And all of those questions, what were those like? Did those, because I know these are real life, those questions, how did you come to wrestle with those and you know, come to a place of peace with those logistically and spiritually?
Yeah. Well, like I said before the break, it's 3 seconds of courage to to say yes. And as the book goes on to show, I didn't resolve those things beforehand and then say, all right, let's go on the trip. It was in the process of being together, in the process of our experience, right in the middle of it, I learned... Yeah, I knew these guys were trustworthy, but that's when I really learned that those what ifs didn't need to, I didn't need to worry about those. And so that's kind of what the book goes on to do, is show, you know, what if I get hurt, or what if we go somewhere I don't want to go, or, you know, what if your feet catch on a root, and realizing, oh, I've actually never walked. I don't know how intuitive feet are, you know, that kind of thing. And or the guy is stopping in the middle of things and saying, oh, you don't look very comfortable. We need to adjust you, and those sort of things. That was my daily, hourly experience on the trip, was, you know, and I think that's what happens in our walk with the Lord, is that when we give our life to Jesus, it's that big overarching trust, right? Like we get it. Like it's the broader trust. And then as we go on with our life and we give things to him, then he just proves over and over and over to be trustworthy and to be good. And so I think, yeah, that's what I got to experience with my friends, and I continue to. And of course, we aren't Jesus, so we do disappoint, but I think the picture is still there, and something to lean into and realize.
You're making me think of the old hymn, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Mm-hmm. And I think about the line, "How I've proved him or, mm-hmm. like thinking about how when we trust God, he is faithful. He is, but so much, it's so hard to take that leap of faith. And one of the leaps of faith that you've taken, Kevin, that I just love, is that you're trying to provide this experience for other kids, for other people who want to have those experiences where I want to go in a backpack. We talked about last time, you've had kids on a jet ski, on snowmobiles, like all kinds of places. So tell us about that foundation and how maybe people who are listening think, hey, I would love to be able to provide a way for someone else to have that experience. How can they do that?
Yeah, so when we got back from Europe, we were hearing from hundreds of families, maybe thousands, I lost count, but it was a crazy time. But but we were hearing from families all over the world, and they were asking two main questions. where did you get this backpack and where did you get these friends? And
I love that.
Yeah, the first one was really easy to answer because we had made this backpack. We had worked with a company called Deuter, and so continued to work with them and made kind of a more professional factory version. And we're actually on version 2.0 now, based
Amazing.
On feedback from families. And so that's really still unbelievable to me that mm-hmm. we're that far down the line. But then that second question of where did you get these friends, I think that is, like you said, it's a wonderful question and one that we can, as a nonprofit, continue to delve deeper into and find new ways to answer that and different ways to answer it and kind of peel back the layers as we grow. And I think originally the way that we answered that was, well, let's start by being your friend. And so every family that reaches out about a backpack, we try and stay in touch with. And so we have a database of about 1,200 families.
1,200.
In 48 countries. And
48 countries.
Yeah, yeah. And,
wow.
And so we, you know, they send us photos and videos and emails of their adventures that they have. And they also send us prayer requests, and we check in on them, you know, a couple times a year. And Katie and I do Zoom calls, or sometimes we go and visit families depending on where we are. And it's been awesome. And my sister is actually the one that keeps in touch with all those families. And
your
so,
sister, who also has spinal muscular
SMA.
Atrophy. Yes.
And so, yeah, we just want to be available and present for these families. We send them birthday greetings and stuff like that. And so that's kind of the start of it. We were like, well, I don't know how to find those friends, but we can be those friends first and go from there. And then our hope from there is to just, as we come alongside these families, kind of work through their own situations, because every situation is unique, and say, well, are you part of a church, or you know, do you have a community around you? And if not, how can we make that happen? And so, yeah, that's a lot of what we do. It's a lot of those conversations and that next step, you know, of thanks for being inspired by my story. And then, you know, here's a backpack, and let's find you some friends and help you learn how to invite them into your need with joy. And a big way that we do that, sorry, I'm kind of rambling a little bit.
No, I love it.
A big way that we do that is through our website. We have mm-hmm. like a crowdfunding platform for families that want to get a backpack. They can send us their information, and we set up a page for them, and then they can use that link to invite their friends to give toward their backpack. And it's kind of it's an easy ask, you know, mm-hmm. it's a fun ask. It's not, no offense, but it's not, can you take me to the doctor, you know, it's, or can you help me with the restroom? It's,
can you help me ride a jet ski?
Right. Can you help me ride a jet ski? Can you help me get this backpack to go camping or go to the zoo or whatever it may be? And that will hopefully be an icebreaker into deeper conversations and greater relationship. And then we also, they share it with their community, but we share it with ours as well. And that continues to put people around them.
Well, I am challenging my listeners to put your feet where your faith is, and you can help. You can go to We Carry Kevin. That's K-E-V-A-N, Kevin with an A, wecarrykevin.org. You could sponsor a backpack. I mean, what a great gift to give a kid. You can get the book for kids who are in your life. This is such a beautiful story. It would make a great bedtime read. I encourage you to do that. And listen to all of my listeners. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. and be gracious to you and give you peace. And I'll see you right here next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.